I'm going to put this away real quick. We'll open with prayer. Must be going to be a good day. Amen. Amen. When things go bad, that means it's going to be a good day. Well, let us pray. Everybody have your check-in. Anybody checking in? We have the information for that. Offerings, is that showed up yet? Okay. I think maybe it's already been done. So, all right, let's pray. Lord God, thank you for an opportunity once again to come together and to honor you with our time, to be encouraged and challenged by your word, and also, Lord, to be able to look at these days that we live and see that you're coming very soon. We're thankful for the privilege to study your word and to be able to understand more about you and your plan. And I pray, Lord, that we'll be inspired to be actively involved with sharing our faith. We just pray a special blessing on this time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, anybody here today that was not here last week? Two. Anyone else? Okay. I'm just going to do a little bit of an introduction, I guess, is there a correct way to say that, to what we discussed last week, and it may cause some eyebrows to raise just a little bit, and that's okay, because I expect that. I'm going to demonstrate, while I'm getting prepared for that, what I have in my hands is a very cheap version of a scroll, and I didn't like the seals that I used last week, so I come up with some round to it seals. I think Tom will appreciate that. So I just kind of taped those on. We have a scroll here that had seven seals on it, and we've been discussing the possibility that four of those have actually been removed already. And when I read Daniel chapter 12 with you, verses 1 through verse 13, I highlighted two verses, verse 4 and also verse 9. And that was to show us in God's word that Daniel was given great revelation, but then God said to him, seal it up until the time of the end. In other words, the things that he shared, which were things of what is to come, were not supposed to be revealed, not until the end. And I believe that the things that he had seen and sealed are now being revealed. And then I went on to share with you I guess you could call it an epiphany moment when I realized, as I was reading, under conviction, by the way, because I didn't want to do it, but the Lord challenged me to read Revelation, and as I got to chapter 5, I realized there was a scroll that may very well be the same scroll of Daniel, Daniel chapter 12. And the scroll was sealed, and it couldn't be read, and so angels were crying and wailing, oh my goodness, and of course I'm paraphrasing in our modern language here, no one is worthy to open the scroll, and they were wailing and crying. And, of course, then it became obviously clear that the Lamb of God can open the scroll, and he is the Lion of Judah. And that is revealed in Revelation 5. However, as you can see, I can't open the scroll yet. It's still sealed. And what I was taught growing up is that the end times begins, and specifically, as we were taught, the seven-year tribulation begins at the opening or the removal of the first seal in Revelation chapter 6. I dispute that theory, and for much of the reason that I just explained. First of all, the scroll, which represents the end, isn't even opened yet, and it's going to take seven of these things to be removed before you can. Daniel said it will be sealed until the time of the end, and I believe that we are beginning to see the signs of his coming shown and revealed in our day, and slowly but surely the seals are removed so that one day we will open the scroll, and it will be what we call the Great Tribulation. That day has not yet come. And I began reading what was revealed in the seals being removed, and I disputed some of the ideas that these things have to be during the end tribulation period. First of all, the first seal that was removed, about a white horse with a rider carrying a bow. Everyone that I've ever studied believes it's someone who is a conqueror bent on conquest who will achieve great things without war. And we actually have a history in our world of that actually happening. We have many countries in the world that were seeking to find themselves politically strong, militarily strong, and also financially strong. And so they have already tried to do that without war, and it was accomplished to some degree. And the one country that stands above all other countries that accomplished that was the United States of America. I also revealed that during the early 1900s, our president, Theodore Roosevelt, decided that we need to show our strength to the world. And so he ordered the 16 Fleet Flotilla to circumnavigate the globe for 2 years. And there were 16 warships, gleaming white warships that circumnavigated the globe. And everybody recognized, whoa, this is a military strength. America has arrived. And, of course, we're proud of that history. We did arrive as a world power, and we've never gone back. And it's possible that the specific revealing of this first rider with the bow that was a conqueror bent on conquest could very well be the arrival of the United States of America as a world power. I'm not saying it is emphatically, but I think in my own heart it's quite possibly the case. We move on to the second seal, which is about the horse and the rider who is red. And, of course, he's got a big sword, and he takes away peace from the world and allows men to kill each other. And it's very obviously something new, something different. And we went through what happened when World War I came on the scene. And I shared with you, as you have in your notes, the numbers of people that died, the ways that they died, the rifles, the barbed wire, the machine guns, artillery, tanks, aircraft, all of these things were new to war. And it was suddenly peace in the world is no longer going to happen. You can be attacked anywhere in this world today. I made a light comment about Disney's ride that I've been on that was torturous to me, where they sang It's a Small World After All. And my sister loves it, and I can't stand it. And, of course, it's funny if we have to both be on that same ride together. Of course, we're much older now. Maybe we're more mature, and it wouldn't bother me so much, but I kind of doubt it. And she probably would love it just as much and rub it in my face. You're going to get to meet her, by the way. My sister and her husband will be here at the end of this month, and they're going to share about their mission as missionaries. But anyway, that's part of what I revealed in the World War I, and then also you have to keep in mind World War II and every war since. Something I wanted to declare is once a seal is removed, it's removed. You don't go back. You don't put it back. You don't change back to the way it was. Once war has been expanded to the way that we can kill each other like never before, it's not only going to get the same or similar, it's going to get worse. And of course, we see that today. Now we have drones that can do a lot of our dirty work for us, and it's quite the world we live in today. The third seal is where we ended, and that was about a very confusing rider with a scale. It's confusing if you don't understand the history of it. And basically what the scale represents here is the weight of or measures of things, the values of what they are. If you have a quart of wheat or 3 quarts of barley, there's something about that description. One is worth more than the other as far as quality and food, and yet they're going to basically amount to a day's wage. And then it says, do not harm the oil and the wine. And it seems like a strange thing to say for us in our culture, but the oil was something that was absolutely necessary for living. Do not harm the oil. The things that you need to survive, the things that you need for medicinal purposes, the things that you need for your food source, the things that you need for your oil for the lamps, these things will not be hurt or damaged. They'll be in plenty. However, they're going to cost you much, much more. Same thing with the wine. The wine represents pleasures. It represents fulfillment and above and beyond. And so the things that can bring you pleasure, the things that can bring you excess even, or the enjoyment of life, they're still in plenty. And I was talking about if you want a brand new pickup, I can point you down the road, and there's quite a few to look at right now. There's no shortage of new pickups in our world today, is there? There's plenty. Matter of fact, there's probably way too many. So if you want a brand new pickup, you can go get that pickup, but it's going to cost you $60,000 or more if you want the real fancy pole power diesels that are out there, and they're pretty amazing, but they're going to cost you. And if you just want a V8 with the gas engine, it's still going to cost you plenty, much more than I can imagine. I drive an 05, and I thought that was enough right there for cost. But nevertheless, there's plenty of them. There's no shortage, and that goes worldwide. We have too much food in the world. People are talking about, especially from that liberal perspective, you know, we don't have enough food. We're not going to be able to survive. We're not going to be able to take care of each other and give enough food. Well, the problem isn't growing the food. We got plenty of food. It's getting it to the people that need the food. That's the hard part. Why is it hard to get it to them? Because it costs so much. There's plenty of it. Matter of fact, we grow so much of it that our prices keep staying low, and the farmers have a hard time making a dollar because there's too many crops of wheat being grown or way too much corn, etc. And so that's where we ended last week, is on the third seal, and I believe that the seal that represents that rider has been removed. And we talked about the value of a gallon of gasoline, how that compares to today. And it was interesting that Tom had said something to me after or during, I don't recall which, and then he sent me a couple emails. The value of a dime in silver, remember you could buy gasoline for a dime? It was interesting that he pointed out that if dimes were still silver, you could still buy a gallon of gasoline with that same dime. Isn't that interesting? So the base value of what our dollar used to be still holds the same value for gasoline, except that dime is no longer silver, so it doesn't have that value. It's still only 10 cents, but of course, the product itself, the gallon of gas, is going to cost you much, much more in our current currency. That's called inflation. And certainly, we've seen inflation in our day. And so I believe, not only in America, but worldwide, that is the case. You can probably recall that Greece had quite the time of it, and I don't know where they are today, but they really suffered because of the very same things we're talking about. So questions before we go on into the fourth and the fifth and the sixth seal. That's what we're going to try and cover. Greed? Okay. Possibly. There's certainly a lot of greed in the world. Is that what set the tone for these things to happen? It's debatable. I do think it's an agenda of the enemy, which is coming to fruition. And so we're seeing the things happening. Although, keep in mind, what we read is prophecy from God. And it's also according to the will of God that these are also happening, setting us up for this day. Yes. Well, that particular passage, Matthew 24, is what you're referring to. The birth pains, the earthquakes, those things are going to happen in various places. Absolutely. Is that referring to these three seals that we just talked about? I don't know that you can say that that's what it's referring to when Jesus talks about the signs of that particular thing. But he certainly is talking about disasters in the world. Tsunamis, earthquakes, volcanic activities. Of course, we know that there's been fires. And now the hurricanes that just recently took place in Puerto Rico is really, really damaged right now. Those I think, are the things he's referring to in that particular passage. Okay. Well, let's look at Revelation. And because we are recording this now, I'm going to do the reading just for the sake of allowing our readers on the internet to follow along. And I'm at verse 7 of Revelation. When the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a pale horse. Its rider was named Death, and Hades was following close behind him. They were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword, famine, and plague, and by the wild beasts of the earth. Okay, so we have another seal. I believe it's been removed. I believe we're seeing the signs of that removal already all around us. And I'm going to explain why I believe that's the case. First of all, let's break it down just a little bit. He opened the fourth seal, and he looked, and there before him was a pale horse. Its rider's name's Death. Well, death is nothing new. Death has been since Cain and Abel. Death has always followed through our history of mankind. However, death is going to be accomplished in a way that it has not yet been accomplished. And I think that's what we have to look at. What about death in this picture that we have is different from death before? Well, we know that the second rider that came brought war, a great big sword that allowed men to slay each other in ways that has never been accomplished. I believe the evidence shows it's happening right now. It started with World War I, and it still continues today. What about this particular passage is showing that death can happen in ways that is different from before? Well, let's break it down. First of all, the writer's name is Death, so that's his goal, is to kill. Hades was close behind him. I believe that's a direct reference to death being caused by demonic control. You may recall the story of Job. Job was a good man. Matter of fact, he was a righteous man. He was more than just good. No one truly is good, but when you have God on your side and you follow him with your whole heart, as Job did, you're a righteous man. And you may recall that there was a conversation in heaven between the Father and Lucifer, or Satan himself, I guess we could say. And Satan, of course, pointed at Job and says, yeah, of course he's going to worship you. Look at all the wonderful gifts you've given him. Look at how great his family is. Look at all these things. You take away these things and he'll curse you. What does God do? God says, go ahead. Go ahead and take all his things. Go ahead and take his family. He had faith that Job would not curse him. And, of course, the end of the story is Job ends up continuing, even though he struggled with all his friends' input, he continues to honor God and bless the Lord and basically humble himself before the Lord. He questioned God at one point, and God basically got in his face and said, who are you to question me? Who created this universe? Who created the sun, moon, and stars? Who created all these different animals? And he shows the hand of God in the world, and Job basically says, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, you're right. But there's something the devil couldn't do. He said, you can do all these things, you can even take his health, but you cannot take his life. When this rider shows up, God's giving the ability for the devil to kill. That's pretty serious business. Now, was he able to kill prior to that? Well, I guess you could debate that. That's an interesting discussion. I do want to point out that something switches, something changes when this seal is removed, so that we're getting closer and closer to the day of the Lord when that scroll can be revealed and read, when it can be opened. It says he's able to kill. His name is Death. Hades follows close behind. I believe that's demonic control. And listen to what it says. They were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword, which is war. That's already going on. But now we're going to kill with demonic enforcement. There's going to be demonic control leading to war. So a fourth of the earth will be controlled in such a way that they can kill with sword, with famine. And I'll talk about that in a minute. Plague and the wild beasts of the earth. Well, I think it doesn't take a great deal of thought to realize that there is demonic control where people are killing each other with war. All I have to do is say one thing and you'll recognize it immediately. And that's more of a recent thing that's developed, but it's been here for quite some time. There's two words I'll say. One is ISIS and terrorism. These people are absolutely convinced that they're doing the work of God. Their God. Who is their God? Their God is the devil. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. There is no comparison between the Muslim faith and Christianity. Don't ever believe the lie. It is demonic controlled. And I went into a discussion with a friend who was married to a Muslim, and she basically said, you need to talk to my husband. You guys would have a great discussion. And I went on to explain to her, I said, I believe that there's a lot of people in the world that say they're Christian, but they're really not. They're called moderate Christians in our language today. That's what we say. They're a moderate Christian. Well, what's a moderate Christian? I would say a moderate Christian is not a true believer at all. They're just religiously devoted. And I said, I believe there's the same thing happens in the Muslim faith. We all have heard the discussion about all the moderate Muslims. Well, what's a moderate Muslim? I'll declare to you, a moderate Muslim isn't a Muslim at all. Because they don't believe the whole truth. They don't follow the Quran to its level and degree that those who are truly committed do. And who are the ones that are truly committed? They're the radicals. They're the extremists. And they will annihilate the enemy if they do not convert, because that's what they're told to do by their own holy book. Now, the first portion of their holy book talks about peace, that's true, but the end of the book usurps the earlier stages, and the end of the book says, absolutely annihilate those who do not repent, or those who do not convert, I'm sorry. But here's the funny thing. I'm also a radical. I'm an extremist. And my extremist isn't terror, my extremist is love. And I believe you must be born again. Now, how crazy is that? I'm a radical, Pentecostal, spirit-filled, believing, born-again Christian. And I represent, I believe, what the whole Word of God declares. I believe that ISIS is true faith. I believe they're truly faithful to the call of the Quran. And it's demonic controlled. They are as absolutely certain that they're doing the right thing as I am certain I'm doing the right thing. Because they have a spiritual experience that's leading them there. And so I'm not going to go any more into that. That's one huge, huge sword in our world today that was not there before. Okay, so that's one way that they're killing. How about famine? Have we heard about famine? I'm going to ask all the middle age, I'll call myself middle age, to the old. How many remember the big push by our Hollywood and our actor, our singers of the 80s? And they sang the song called, "We Are the World, We Are the Children, We Are the Ones to Make a Brighter Day, So Let's Start Giving." Then, of course, Michael Jackson gets into it. "There's a choice you're making." And I was like, yeah, go Michael, I love that. Then Lionel Richie, he gets into it with him. It's like, whoa, that's awesome. The way they put that, that's a powerful song. Why? Because of the famine that suddenly we're aware of in 1984. Prior to that, we didn't know much about what was going on in the world, but suddenly we're aware of famine. Well, how about this? I'm in the seventh grade. I'm sitting with my history teacher, and he always likes to say, "What's newsworthy today?" And of course, we begin talking about what's newsworthy, and somebody says, "Mr. Stenson, there's something that was on the news last night about a new disease that's never been here before. We're not sure what it is. They're starting to call it AIDS." I was in seventh grade. First time we ever heard about it. So we're starting to talk about this, and every week we came back because we found out more. The first experience or the first realization of AIDS happened in Africa, and it was because somebody had sex with a monkey. And then after getting whatever disease that developed, they began having homosexual relationships, and then now it's spreading through the people. That's the history of AIDS. And we are all so thankful that there were no people in America with AIDS. Because we thought, what a horrid and terrible thing that is. And then the first declaration of AIDS in America showed up. And of course, here we are today. Don't tell me that's not a demonic controlled beginning of a disease. I mean, the immorality involved to get to that place. Now you can get AIDS from a blood transfusion. I mean, it was basically homosexuality and drug use. That's how you got AIDS. You got it from the needle because you're sharing needles with your buddy or your girlfriend, and suddenly you got AIDS because you shared that needle and you got contaminated. Well, it's developed in such a way now that it's so out of control. You can get AIDS or any other disease now just by some of the most mundane contacts. Why? Because of the enemy's ability to kill with plague in a way that never has been before. Of course, now we have all these other things that come up. You know, you got the bird thing and the pig thing and the whatever thing. I mean, there's all kinds of disease. All these things are new. So I believe that it's demonic controlled. I believe that the enemy has the ability to kill in ways that he hasn't before. And so I think it's the evidence shows us that we can see that through sword, famine, and plague. How about the wild beasts of the earth? That one threw me. I'm like, really? Wild beasts? Well, let me ask you this. How many of you have heard about animals that have killed kids in their own home? But he was such a nice dog. Never did anything to show that he had such ability to kill my son, my daughter, my toddler. Why would this ever happen to me? I honestly can't tell that person why, but I wonder, is it possible there's some demonic spirit involved? And of course, now we outlaw certain dogs in certain communities because once they bite, you can't get them to stop. So those are the ones to really be careful with, right? And yet you will have so many adamant supporters of those very dogs saying they are the best dogs, they're the great family pet. And I've seen that evidence. And yet, what happens if the enemy decides to use an animal to attack? Yes. Okay. Yep. So even a cow can be used by the enemy to kill. Now, can we emphatically declare that was demonic controlled? This cow needs to be shot. No, I'm not saying that. Okay, so you did. Okay, we got hamburger. All of you in the World Wide Web, we've got hamburger. So God bless America. No, I'm not going to go there. But I want you to draw your attention to the notes. And I realize I don't always talk with my notes, but I do want to bring some of these things into focus here. We have diseases, we have these different things, but I found out that there was an article. It was called Predators in Public Places. It's page 9 of your notes. It tells of 200 officially acknowledged attacks in Florida from 1948 to 1948. 191 of those 200 attacks were between 1973 and 1975. Now, what are the odds that you have Predator in Public Places article that defines attacks in Florida? I was supposed to put in here alligators, I believe is that what it is. Is that what they have in Florida, or is it crocodiles? Alligators. And so you have 191 of those attacks happened since 1973. Only 9 prior to that. Something happened here. Well, you will talk to certain people and they will tell you that it's because of people moving into the areas of the wild animals and that's just what they're going to do. Well, I believe the evidence shows otherwise. Something happened to change the way animals can or cannot attack. I remember it wasn't too many years ago, there was a baby in a stroller at a campground. A bear came along and took the baby out of the stroller into the woods and killed it and ate it. That happened just a few years ago. It's never happened before. Never been documented that such a thing could happen. And yet it did happen. I believe, as you look through the evidences, and I only shared a short little bit here, you're going to find out that animals have increased the numbers of kills exponentially since the 70s. Prior to that, you'll even hear people say, you don't have to worry about wolves, you don't have to worry about these other animals, even grizzlies, they never really attack. It's very, very rare for an animal to attack a human being. They're afraid of you. And I agree 100%, 100%, but I'm actually searching for the right sidearm to carry if I do go to the mountains and bear spray. Why? I'm not worried about the natural bear. I'm more worried about the one that could be demonically controlled. And I'm just telling you straight up and honest. I'm not worried about the mountain lion in Mikoshika. Absolutely not. Matter of fact, I hope I see one, but I'm prepared for the one that might be demonic controlled. Now, I realize I might have just put a little fear into you, but I believe even a rattlesnake can be demonic controlled. I'm not afraid of rattlesnakes. Ask my wife. I'm not. She is. She's 100% afraid. But I'm not. Why? Because the natural instincts of a snake are to flee, to run, to hide. But the demonic snake, if there is such a thing, and I believe there is, will attack me. Why? Because a man of God walking in Makoshka, why not? Why wouldn't the enemy want to take advantage of an opportunity? That's right. And so I raise that as part of the evidence, and you're going to see that if you study the history of our own country and the world, the numbers of attacks of animals have exponentially increased to a degree that they have no answer for it. It makes no common sense. There is no theory that fits. The only theory that fits that I have found is that the seal of Revelation chapter 6, the fourth one, has been removed. And animals can kill because Satan is behind it. Now, you might ask yourself this question, or maybe you've already asked it. Why do you believe this? It says a fourth of the earth will die. We're like 7 billion people. That would take almost a billion people die, or more than a billion, almost 2 billion people to die for this to be true. And I'm saying absolutely not. It does not say a fourth of the earth dies. That's a misinterpretation. It's a misquote. It says a fourth of the earth is controlled by Hades. And he is able to kill in ways he's never been before. I believe that the evidence shows it's probably more than a fourth of the earth today is controlled by Satan. More than a fourth of the earth. But it began with a fourth. And it's only getting worse. Okay. Any questions about the fourth seal? The fifth seal is very near and dear to my heart because it was the seal that God opened my eyes to what was going on in the world. So let's just, for the sake of discussion, we're going to take this one off. We've only got, wait, is that right? I'm not going to do it too soon. We'll just wait. I should have had four on here to start. Sorry about that. Okay, let's go back to the scriptures and let's read the fifth seal, which is verse 9. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar. This is different. There's no rider here. What happened to the horse and the rider, right? And that's one of the questions I had when I studied this. Why isn't there seven horses and riders? I don't get it. Why four, right? Well, something different's going on here. This is not the same event. This is not the same kind of thing where the world's introduced to something in a different way. This is new. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain. Why were they killed? It's not because they're Jews. Okay, that's not why. Some people have made that a statement. It's not that for that reason. Those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they maintained. They called out in a loud voice, "How long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood?" These are people that died Christian martyrdom. These are people that are slain by the enemy because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. These are believers that are now dead in the grave. Then each of them was given a white robe and they were told to wait a little longer. How about that? How much longer, sovereign Lord, until you avenge our blood? And God says, just a little longer. Hang on. They got their white robe. That means that they're forgiven. They're with the Lord. They have the being spotless understanding in the throne room of God, even is a way that you could say it. But they're under the altar. They're basically killed because of their faith. They're given a robe. They're told to wait a little longer. And this is the kicker. Until the number of their fellow servants and brothers who were to be killed as they had been was completed. Couple things about that. One thing is it's disturbing to realize there are people dying today because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's disturbing. We think we know what persecution is. We don't. We know what it's like to be made fun of. We know what it's like to be called names, maybe. But even that's kind of rare. Most people respect one another in America. Most people accept that that's what you believe, that's fine. Just don't impose your beliefs on me. That's common. But to be persecuted to the point where you're going to die, that's not happening here. Not a whole lot. It does happen. We know there's been some school shootings where it was declared for people to say that they believe in God or not, and then if they said they did, they shot them. We know those are true stories. But it's rare in America, but it's not rare in the other parts of the world. When my sister and her husband come, you're going to be able to hear that testimony as well. Thankfully, they're doing good. They're going to a new location, but they're living in very dangerous territory. There's no guarantee after this month I'll see them again. No guarantee. I'm not saying they will die, but I'm prepared to realize that it could happen because they live in a territory where if you are found out, you can be killed, and it's okay. It's the law. It was in 1997 when I was under conviction from the Lord about reading through Revelation and begin to teach and preach. And I was in the middle of my debate with him, if there is such a thing. And I opened a letter that came in the mail, and it was there, and I shared this before. It was written by Dr. James Dobson. It was April. And my eyes were opened to the realization that there's 160,000 documented murders of Christians in 1997. I was blown away, shocked. I went home to tell Tina about it, and I turned on the TV, and there's Pat Robertson on the 700 Club talking about the very same thing. So not only did 2.5 million people get the letter that I got, you got how many millions watching the 700 Club on national TV? And what does Revelation chapter 6, verse 9 say? When he opened the fifth seal, I saw. I saw. The other one said, I heard the voice. This one says, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain. And I'm going to tell you, because it's what I believe, it's my personal opinion, but I believe I saw the fifth seal removed that day. Within the week, Congress was already discussing the murders of Christians in Sudan. And they were coming up with a plan of how can we help these people that have no one to help them. And I don't know what they resolved, but it became a huge story in 1997 about the people that die because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe the seal has been removed. It was a moment that caused me to shake and begin to cry, and I began to pray, and I basically repented to the Lord, and I basically said, teach me, Lord. Teach me what you will, and I began the study that we're talking about today. And this is the beginning stages of what was revealed to me. Now, if you have new information there, which I do have some newer stuff I talked about, the numbers of people that have been killed for their faith has not gone down. It's only increased. Something that I realized back in 1997, there's been more Christians murdered, killed, martyred, if you want to use that term, from 1900 on than there were in the first 19 centuries all put together. We talk about the Christians that were killed by Nero back in the New Testament period. We talk about the disciples and how all but two of those died because of their faith. One survived old age, the other one, of course, hung himself because he was the betrayer. But you do have the one that took his place that ends up getting stoned to death. And so you have these different leaders that were martyred because of their faith, and yet you add them up, and they don't even come up to the numbers from 1900 to 1996. More people have died since 1996 than all of those years prior. That's pretty impacting. But then you realize that from 1996 and on, the numbers have increased. In 2000, it was said to have had over 2 million martyrs. It is said that 2015 was the deadliest year for Christians worldwide due to the rise of Islamic extremist groups like ISIS, Boko Haram, and Al-Shabaab. It is estimated that today there is a Christian martyred every 5 minutes. While I've been talking, it's been 45 minutes. You do the math. How many of your brothers and sisters are right now under the altar crying out to the Lord, "How much longer, O Lord, until you avenge our blood?" Just in the last 45 minutes. That's disturbing news. However, what's not disturbing is to realize that the Lord is very much aware of it. And while it may seem a little upsetting to you, it's comforting to me to know that He has a number. I don't know the number, but God knows a number. How much longer until I avenge your blood? Just a little longer. What does that mean to you? What does it mean to me? It means I saw this seal removed, and God is saying to me, as I'm pleading for Him, He says to me and you and everyone else, just a little longer, and then it will be complete. The number that I have chosen will have been completed. There is a number of Christians that are going to die. It hasn't gotten there yet, but it's close. God is still sovereign. He is in control. That's what's comforting to me. Are there people dying for their faith? Yes. You cannot turn a true believer away from Christ. Pliny the Younger found that out way back in the day when he was killing Christians. He said a true believer will never curse Christ. He's a historian that hated Christianity, but he recognized these people are for real. And it still is the same way today. One time I made the mistake of watching a video that someone posted about ISIS. And I wished I hadn't done it, but I watched as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ had their heads removed. I actually didn't think they would show it. I didn't think it would actually be there. I thought it would have been somehow edited, but it wasn't. I wished I hadn't done that. Don't do it. Trust me to know it's enough to know they're dying. That was my brother. I watched him go to heaven that day. A whole bunch of them all lined up, kneeling with the Mediterranean at their backs. Why did I watch it? Because I was just there, within 30 miles of that place. And they're still dying today. I believe the evidence shows the seals removed. Don't tell me there's not martyrdom. If you say that, if you say, "Oh, well, this is going to be different in the end day," you're wrong. It will be absolutely different. Matter of fact, there's more people dying today for their faith than there ever will be during the tribulation. I'm going to go so far as to say I question how many people will even have the opportunity to get saved during the tribulation. Will people get saved? Absolutely, maybe. Let me ask you this. Why did you come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? You don't have to answer. It's more of a rhetorical question. But I'll tell you why I did. Because of the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Well, someone's holding back the coming of the Lord. And God says it will be that way until He's removed. Until He's taken out, away. Well, that's the church and the Holy Spirit. If you came to faith because of the conviction of the Holy Spirit, how much chance is there for people to get saved when the conviction of the Holy Spirit is no longer here? Jesus said, "I'm going to go and I'm going to send somebody to you." What is he going to do? He's going to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. The conviction of the Holy Spirit is present because Jesus died and rose again and went back to be with the Father to intercede for you on your behalf. At the right hand of the Father, that's where he's at. But he sent his Holy Spirit to convict you so that you would come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would be born again. But when he's not here in that same capacity, it goes back to the way it was. It goes back to the Old Testament way of things. And can you get saved? Absolutely, maybe. That's as far as I can go. I hope so. But I can't say absolutely for certain because the conviction will not be there and you will have to be religiously devoted by your own strength and your own willpower. And that's not an easy thing in the last days. Especially when you see somebody call down fire from heaven in light of all mankind and say, he is Christ. Why would he do such a thing? Why would anybody call down fire from heaven? Because you know the story of Elijah. You know it as well as I do. Elijah was challenging the Baal worshipers, who is truly God? And they said, our God is God. He goes, okay, let's have a contest. Whoever's God can bring fire from heaven to burn up the altar, he is the true God. And so they had the challenge and Elijah won. Well, truly it wasn't Elijah. God won. Big time, right? Well, guess what? In the last days, there's an Antichrist and there is a false prophet. The false prophet calls down fire from heaven. Why? Well, I believe because he will say, see, the test of Elijah has been accomplished. He is the true God. And they'll believe him. Why? Because the Holy Spirit isn't here to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. I'm out of time. I'm sorry for that. Next week, we'll talk about the sixth seal. And I'll give you just a little bit of a teaser. I don't believe the sixth seal has been removed. I believe we've seen all five, and the sixth one is just about to take place. But here's the kicker. When the sixth seal is removed, I believe it's synonymous. At the very moment, at the very same time that the rapture of the church takes place. I'm going to say this. All prophecies that need to take place to fulfill the coming of the Lord in his return, what we call the rapture, which will bring about the marriage supper of the Lamb, all has already taken place. The only thing that I find in Scripture that has yet to take place before the Antichrist can set up his kingdom as he will do is that the sixth seal must be removed, which is the same moment of the rapture of the church, and I'll show you why I believe that, and that is all that is holding him back. And we have seen everything else take place. What's coming next? The sixth seal is going to be removed. And if I'm right on my time, chronologically, and I do believe that most of Revelation is chronological, you've had people tell you it's not, but I say it is. I will tell you that in 1900, during the First World War, was the first seal's removal. And it's been getting worse ever since. Well, the conqueror had been on conquest. Of course, then the war came. So you got early 1900s, late 1800s, you got 1900, first seal, second seal is World War I. I misspoke when I said first, but it's the second seal. Then you have the inflation, which we've seen. You have famine, plagues, wild animals, or just animals in general, 70s, 1997, the fifth seal. This is 2017. I don't know the day and the hour, but I do believe that God has revealed to us that his day is very close, and I will not be surprised if he comes today. Let's pray. Lord God, thank